for an adult audience. Loveline may contain sexually oriented content. Listener discretion is advised.
Loveline with Adam Carolla and Dr. Drew.
Hey, everybody. It's Loveline. I'm Adam. That's Dr. Drew. Phone number 1-800-LOVE-191. Dr. Drew, board certified physician. This is Passabethba.
Loveline, it's so much more pleasant with those nuts that Lauren got us.
Mm.
Yeah?
Yeah. I'm going nuts for the nuts. And did you notice a little trouble with the off-ramp on the way in tonight?
Yeah, what was that? Normally they close the whole thing. This time they close one lane till they get you on the off-ramp, then they close the opposite lane.
Here's all I know. All I know is I've lived in Southern California my entire life. Oh. I've never had an off-ramp of a work or home or business, a loved one, that was closed for anything longer than a weekend. The best you can do when you're shutting an off-ramp is shut it off for a weekend. You touch up the paint, maybe you resurface it. The off-ramp that we need to use, and believe, don't think I'm not thinking about the great magnet and his plans for me.
Oh, yeah.
And what he's doing to me.
Uh-huh.
Because since we moved studios 5 months ago, this goddamn off-ramp has been good 3 days out of the 5 months. This is our off-ramp. This is the off-ramp we would get off if we were trying to get to work. So instead, I have to take the off-ramp that's past it. Now, you may say, why don't you take the one before it?
No.
Trust me, you wouldn't do that. You just go past it, then you turn, and then you backtrack.
That's when
you hit the arrow.
Yes.
So you understand that I'm being fed into the arrow?
Yes.
Like,
you have to, and it's now you pretty much have to wait for it.
I don't believe in God, but what about the great magnet? Like, just think about it. Anyone who listens to shows know I've spent the last 5 years complaining about all the goddamn red arrows I had to endure in that crap dump asshole called Culver City for the last 5 years. Finally, we move. No more arrows. I just get off my off-ramp and I'm right at work. Now, this off-ramp's not going to be working for about a year. In what universe is an off-ramp on a freeway closed for a year? It's no signs opening up either.
Here's the greatest mystery of all that I guess is living proof of the great magnet. Nothing seems to be going on that off-ramp other than it's closed.
It's closed so that a-hole Adam can get an arrow put in his way. There's nothing going on. Now I just have to go around and then I drive past work and I sit there waiting at the arrow so I can make a U-turn and double back.
For those of you that feel our pain, it's the Fairfax, Washington, right?
Yeah.
Exit off the Henn Freeway.
It's good times. All right. So anyway, tonight the second off ramp that I normally get on.
Oh, was that the second one? I didn't pay attention anymore.
Yeah,
you're right. The second one.
Yeah, the first one was closed. Second one was down to one lane.
That's right.
And the line went all the way back up the freeway. So I just went past that. And let me just say a couple quick things. You know, because you know my theory. You know what I want. I don't want more freeways. I don't want a monorail.
Move your ass.
I don't want to widen anything. I want people to start shaking their ass. Yeah. Case in point, if you're the lead guy, like if it's a situation where there's a long off ramp, one of the lanes is closed off, and now there's a line, single file line of cars going all the way back a quarter mile onto the freeway. If you're the lead man who is waiting at the signal, you and your response and your alertness, this is the difference between 14 cars going and 5 cars going. When that signal changes and you do that, 1 Mississippi, 2 Mississippi, 3 Mississippi, and then you start going, you're effing everyone behind you. That lead position, yes, you need to be, the vigil needs to be held. Turn the radio down, put the hands at 10 and 2, whatever it takes. Slap yourself in the face a little there while it's red. Get prime.
Yeah.
Maybe give the engine a few revs. That's the scout position. You're running point for the whole platoon. You got to get on it. Drew, does it drive you berserk when you're like car number 9 in the back? The signal changes. It's just that 1-1000.
Drives me
2-1000. It's like, really?
How about number 9? Number 2, I'm going crazy.
But you're taken by surprise that the signal changed? How does this go? You just get in your car and you're just sort of like, I wonder why I stopped. Oh, well, as long as I stopped, I might as well occupy myself. No telling. Let's see. Let me go through my purse here. What's in the glove box? Maybe I got an old Connect 4 game. Huh? What's this? The signals change? Huh. Well, let me put my stuff back and kind of get myself together. Well, it's caught me off guard. I guess I can proceed now. Really? Don't you know it's just going to be about 45 seconds and then you've not been through the cycle before?
Then they proceed as though they're not crossing an intersection that has a light.
Yeah, it's like, all right, well, the strange device with the lights, the colored lights, it's changed. It used to be a red color, now it's a green color. But let's not trust this technology completely. I'll very slowly creep out, looking left and right.
Ooh, these people on the left seem to be stopped. How interesting.
I guess it's okay for me to proceed. Well, again, a very cautious speed.
It could go any second.
What's going on? What, are people just that far out of it? Or are they not? What does everyone have? Like a pain in the ass wife that they don't want to get home to? Or like a kid with whooping cough? What's waiting at home that they don't want? What's there? What about TiVo? What about the loves of TiVo and chunky peanut butter and pornography? Should you be hustling home? Aren't you running late for work or something? Really? It just done. I'll tell you. I got behind somebody and I knew this is trouble. When I see the jumbo pack of Kleenex, the jumbo box of Kleenex sliding around on the back where the speakers are, that's trouble. That's deduct 15 miles an hour from their speed. I don't know why. First off, I'm not sure what the Kleenex box 6 feet back from where you are does to you while you're driving. Obviously, you can't get to it, but somehow it's that jumbo one.
It signifies and it just driving sort of, slow.
Yeah, you know what it is? Because that Kleenex box wouldn't last on my car because it would go sailing across my first maneuver.
It's the same thing as the big triangle on the Amish cart.
The buggy, carriage. Yeah. That lets you know it's time to start moving around. Yeah. All right. Drew, I just want a campaign in this city. Just shake your ass. Shake your ass. Everybody, shake your ass. Get it going. Mach Schnell, pick it up. Everyone, just pick it up 25%. If you're going 33, go 39. Work on those reaction times when that light changes. Let's go. If you miss your off-ramp, you can't stop and try to wedge in. You got to keep going and come around. Everybody go. We'll get the whole city moving. Don't have to build any more freeways. Good times. Is this a crazy plan?
No, I don't think so.
No, it's like we can't build a new factory, so we're going to speed up productivity in the one we have. No problem. We're going to speed up the conveyor belt just a little bit. That's all. 20% speed that up. Start plucking them chickens faster.
Curtis, speaking of chickens, what's up? He's in Iowa.
Oh. Yeah, I'm from Hubbard. I was wondering, do you know anything about rainbow parties?
I've heard about these things, but I think this is...
There's got to be something trumped up by the media, the news media.
Yeah, right? I think it is... I think it's a wives' tale where young girls are supposed to go in there and something with BJ's. I remember hearing BJ's and liking the notion.
Well, they're supposed to go in there and they're supposed to have different colored lipsticks and they're supposed to give so many guys a blowjob and whoever gets the most colors on their dick gets.
Where'd you hear about this?
Yeah, it goes around.
I heard this in school.
In school?
Then, on the internet, and then I found it on the news, on News Channel 8.
Yeah, well, eight, Adam. Are you watching eight tonight?
Well, if it's on eight, it's got to be
eight
great.
Out of Des Moines.
In Des Moines. Yeah. Well, that's where I get my news. I got my satellite fixed to eight in Iowa. All right, look, here's the thing. It's not to say there's not a lot of disgusting, debaucherous stuff that goes on with teenagers these days.
Yeah.
But just think about a penis. Think about how the penis works. Think about how lipstick works. First off, your dark's not going to look like a rainbow.
And somebody conceived of this, and maybe somebody tried to coerce somebody to doing something like this, and then the media, everyone's doing this. This is the latest
rainbow
thing.
Rainbow parties.
Please.
And how do you plan those?
Yeah.
You get a flyer. Yeah. Hey. And then how many guys show up at the rainbow party?
6,000.
6,000 guys. Three, two chicks, a transvestite, and a hermaphrodite show up.
Right.
Rainbow party.
Hey, before we take more calls, we got to talk about this Cabin Fever promotion.
Yeah.
Because everyone that comes on our show tonight and for the next 5 days gets a free DVD of the movie Cabin Fever.
Mm-hmm.
This apparently has got all the special behind-the-scenes stuff and interviews with the cast and whatnot.
I could tell you about it myself if I had one.
I know. They'll be bringing us one soon.
Yeah, that's great. That's right. Give us the whole promotion and don't give us the DVD.
Everyone has to be over 18 or over. And this DVD itself goes on sale January 20th. But this is the cool part.
Yes.
If those of you that get the DVDs tonight will be automatically entered into a drawing to win a trip for four, full paid with airfare, lift tickets, and cabin to Whistler, Canada.
Yeah, never been to Whistler.
Oh, it's awesome.
True, you have.
Yeah, yes. A couple times. Fantastic.
Good skiing over there? Really?
Yeah, it was good times.
All right, so again, I'll get more on board when they drop off the DVDs. I got to warn you, Drew, and Engineer Chris, I got gas tonight.
You know, I was going to talk to you about this. I've noticed something. You have really been sort of woefully non-productive in the flatus department. And you know... You're going to make up for it tonight. And you know what that is?
What
is it? Your tush is embarrassed. There's somebody sitting in the room. It's not just you and me.
No, it's true. Oh. I've spared young Chris.
But it's more than spared. It's a little bit of a shyness.
Well,
normally you were blatant. I mean, pouring it out whenever you could.
Well, listen, to be fair to my sphincter, I've let a couple go since I've been in the new studio.
But carefully, strategically, so poor Chris wouldn't... Chris, you're going to be exposed to some action tonight.
Well, I may be gassed out.
Are you prepared?
I may be gassed out.
This is like a combat duty. I
was blowing tremendous gas, and it was right during the...
Wait, why don't you light it tonight? You're set up for it.
No. I only light with denim. You know that. You know that.
It was kind of denim you were.
Come on, Drew.
I didn't realize it was that.
I'm wearing... You know, this is...
Oh, my God.
No, this is a man-made fiber here.
Nicely. What is that?
What?
The nuts? No, not the fiber. The stench.
Oh, okay. Let me tell you what I did. And all right. And you tell me why this doesn't work. Okay?
All right.
Okay. I've not had a good gas bout in months. Months. But today, I was magnificent. I was at Kimmel's. We're having a writer's meeting. We're all eating lunch and sitting around a big table. I'm blowing everybody out. People getting angry. People moving. Everybody. Everyone with the shields calls. Shields. Shirts come sliding up. Oh. People doing their talking points and their jokes through their shirt that's hanging over.
Oh, yeah.
People moving to the other side of the room.
Yeah.
Destroyed the entire...
I've witnessed your action, yeah.
Destroyed the entire area, laughing like a hyena the whole time. Then we go upstairs in the office and blowing gas the whole time, right? I got great gas all day. Now, I haven't had great gas in a long time.
No.
Okay, here's what I did. Ritual, exactly the same. I mean, you know, night before, had a couple glasses of wine.
I'm thinking these nuts. I had some problems today, too. I think these nuts we ate last night.
Got up in the morning. I ate thousands of peanuts all the time.
All we both were
exposed
to.
How does this work? I get up in the morning. I normally don't even eat breakfast. I just have a cup of coffee and leave because I'm always late somewhere and I eat lunch over at Jimmy's. But this morning, I decided I better eat a little something because I'm going to work out later. So I have a little bowl of oatmeal with a banana in it and a little milk. And I'm blowing crazy gas.
Right away.
Crazy gas. Not right away. A couple hours later. But blowing novelty gas.
Mm.
Now, what is that? And I know, like, you know, it's funny. People are like, normally when people get gas, they go like, I got to keep track of what I eat. And my thing is, I got to figure out what I ate, you know, so I can blow up more gas tomorrow at the meeting. I have no idea. It was nothing. It was a banana with a little oatmeal, blowing crazy gas. To me, it's not about what you eat. It's about what you're producing.
Well, yeah, irritability. I mean,
why does it change?
Irritable bowel.
Why does it change?
I don't know if anybody knows that. I mean, it's certainly swallowed air is part of it and what the bacteria produce, and that's determined by what you give them.
But it's not swallowed air because something was brewing
in me. No, I know. And usually that's
like alien.
That's what you eat usually. But also irritable bowel syndrome can stir it up a bit.
So farts never smell or rarely smell. Don't give me that puss. Admit it. Gas rarely smells.
In
my humble opinion, in my world, you know, they just don't. There's some guys, every time something comes out of their ass, it smells. Me, I let 30 just poofters for every one fastball.
Mm.
You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Just air. Okay, so all of a sudden one day, pow. Smells like hell. And then 8 months goes by, nothing.
It's got to be what'd you have for dinner last night?
Nah,
salad dressing.
Or... You know, I ate some of the rest of that
Mexican food.
I do nothing but eat Mexican food. I eat everything. It doesn't do anything. And I had dinner. It was like 7 o'clock the night before. I'm not blowing gas at noon, 1, 4 o'clock the next day, am I?
Mm.
What goes on? What changes? What's
it
different?
It seems like there's a Mexican food expert across the table here is like going, yeah, next day.
Well, listen, I like to blame the Mexicans as much as the next guy, but I don't think this one falls in their lap.
Right.
I really don't. No, when Crystal Method brought the La Cabanita food in here, I still got a huge pile of it in my refrigerator.
Yeah.
I finished a pan off of it last night. I need another one tonight.
Well, see what happens tomorrow. It's a good experiment.
Now, it's not what I eat. I eat everything all the time and nothing.
All right.
Here's what
I'm saying.
Irritable
bowel. You're stressed out about something?
No. Well, I didn't go to court today.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Maybe that was it.
Yeah.
Maybe I was a little stressed out about blowing off court.
What happened?
Well, Drew, you forced me not to.
Yeah.
I told him it was a $1,500 fine if I didn't show up today.
Is that what they said?
No, that's what the piece of paper says. And Drew said, that's nothing.
That's nothing compared to the misery.
At 10 times the price, it's a deal, right?
Deal.
Okay. Adam?
What's up?
You're 17?
Yes, I am.
Yeah, I'm literally a millionaire. I buy my way out of trouble now.
That's good.
You know? What's up? I'm like OJ.
Well, first of all, I want to say that the Man Show has not been the same without you and Jimmy.
That is a shock.
Go ahead. And
but thank you.
But my question is that, I have a girlfriend of mine. She's not actually a girlfriend, but she's a friend who's a girl, basically. And we've been friends since about the third grade. Well, as, you know, we grew up more, she kind of got this thing for me. And I'm gay, openly gay, you know, mm-hmm. And she knows this. And I've told her this many times. And she was kind of cool about it at first. She told me, you know, all right, I respect that. You know, I'm not going to hit on you. But lately, flirting has started to surface. And, you know, she's kind of found reasons for me and her to be alone. And, you know, I kind of told her, you know, I was on to her. You know, I said, I kind of get what you're doing. And she denied it. And, you know, I don't know. We've been friends for so long. I don't want to, like, deny our friendship or say, you know, well, I just can't be around you because, you know, because you like me. And I don't know. It's just, it's kind of hard. So my question is...
Mason jar.
Yeah. It's bogus.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Huh?
It's a bogus question.
Well, no, I haven't asked the question, really.
Okay, go ahead. Go ahead. All right. Yeah. Amuse us.
My question Mason is... Jar. Is this Mason something, jar. Is it something that I should, Shut you know... Up. Am I being too much of a hard ass by saying that... By, like, breaking up our friendship over something like this? You know, is it something that maybe I should just kind of like, you know, brush off the shoulder and say, well, yeah, okay, she's got the hots for me. It's something to wear off, you know?
Yeah, I don't
formulating
know.
The question.
It's not, not sticking together. And by the way, that's not a question.
Yeah.
You've been saying that for the last 3 minutes.
Okay.
Adam, it's not holding together.
Mm. Oh.
Bogus radar, you have to have at least one.
What's that?
I said, you guys have really bad bogus radar. I said, but I figure you at least have to have one for ratings.
One what?
One non-bogus that we think is bogus, you mean?
Yeah.
Well, I'll go with it.
You at least have to announce one bogus, you know, for ratings purposes.
Yeah, that's what we do. Drew and I sit around and talk about what are we going to do to help ratings?
Well, because there's some that I hear that don't sound
Hold on
bogus.
A second. Chris, Engineer Chris, you've been our engineer for 4 months. You've never, maybe five, you never met us before this. Have you ever heard the word ratings come out of my mouth or Drew's mouth? Do you think I know what cities we're on and what ratings we get in those cities? Do you think I have any idea what rating we have here in Los Angeles at the mother station?
This is precisely,
Have you ever
Adam.
Heard me mention anything to producer Ann about ratings ever? Or have any rating-related or even show-related discussion? You've never heard us talk about anything other than cars and my flatulence and how much we hate certain guests during the break, yes? So he's nodding his head.
But this
That's
is
good
precisely
radio.
How,
good for the ratings.
This sounds precisely how Chris formulated his opinion about what it takes to be a great radio host.
How dare people accuse us of caring about this show's ratings? Chris, I would venture to say that in the 4 months, Chris has been sitting in here like a fly on the wall overhearing our conversations. This is Drew. This is producer Ann. Probably nothing that ever involved the show in terms of what was good for it or bad for it or what might bring ratings. Yes?
Yeah. You mostly talk about your house when you're not on the air.
Yeah. Mostly. Yeah. Do you ever talk about anything else?
Yeah. What do you think the topics? What would you say the three topics are that we talk about during the commercials?
Your house, That's basically it.
Coffee.
Coffee.
We'll carry on a little bit of whatever we just finished talking about. You know,
yeah,
we'll go
like
on a little bit.
For 30 seconds.
Yeah, yeah. And then,
maybe.
Then he breaks into the house. Yeah.
Yes. But
then you go take a pee.
You've never That's heard right. the word ratings uttered, have you?
Never.
Oh, okay. You've heard him talk about our next-door neighbor radio station.
Oh, yeah.
And music.
Right. Yeah.
You heard me all about that.
Yeah.
Arrow.
Yeah. But you ever heard anything like me going, geez, I wonder how we're doing in San Diego?
It's comical.
No. And you do great show prep, too, Adam.
Yeah, thanks, buddy. All right. I just don't want people thinking that we sit around and, we gotta announce a bogus call once
Let me deal with Adam as though it were real, because that's always important, just in case. Adam?
I'm here.
All right, so the deal is, first of all, why are you so concerned? You've set appropriate boundaries with her. You've told her you're not interested. What do you care? If she wants to try to make overtures towards you, so what? It's not, nothing's going to happen. You know that. You made it clear to her. What do you think is going to happen? That's as opposed to you saying, hey, I can't be your friend anymore?
No, it's just, I don't know. It kind of makes me feel uncomfortable to know she's got a thing for me. But then again, like I said, I think about our friendship. I mean, we've been friends for, like, since we
If your friendship means so much to you, why can't you tolerate her having a crush on you?
Because I don't feel comfortable with a girl liking me that way. Kind of like how straight men don't like gay guys who like them. You know, that kind of makes sense.
It's different.
Well, not that different. But it's the same situation.
All right. And the other thing is, you don't seem, it's hard, it's, she probably doesn't believe you're gay. She probably believes she can change you and this sort of thing. And you don't come across as, you know, sort of something that people would experience.
Drew,
no,
please.
And
what
I'm being,
do you have to
I'm
do?
Being stereotyping, and I'm saying though, but,
scarf.
But she may delude herself because of that into, well, this, I bet you, maybe he's really not. Maybe I can change him. This kind of
plus,
thing.
His name is Adam. Super straight name.
Yeah, super masculine.
I mean, that's a
name.
Hunky. Yeah. Hunky. That's a virile, strapping, hunky, straight, you know, matinee idol, good looks kind of name. That's not no queer bait name. You know what I'm saying?
Whatever.
Do they use queer bait anymore?
I don't think so.
Okay. Brandon?
Oh, what's up, guys? Young kiddies out there. First of all, this is one thing I have to say. Dr. Drew did this how many years for free? How many years?
Ten, dude.
Oh, is this drunken, Brandon?
Was this the same guy?
Yeah, of course it is, from last week.
Yeah, you sound like a different person.
Well, he's...
You're not quite as loaded
couple
tonight.
Couple beers short
of what
you
I am.
His name was Marcus, though.
Ten.
Sounds like the same guy, though, doesn't it?
Yeah. 10 years he did this for free. And if all
there's the slurring.
Youngsters, kids can do this, buy his book. Just
That's
buy
right.
his book. It's a great book because you know what? I read a portion of it at the library.
Yeah.
And I'm going to buy it.
Sure.
Did it discourage you from indulging in your disease or maybe getting some help for it?
Well, the problem was that I only read a portion of it. Maybe if I read the whole book and bought it at what stores?
All the major
Everywhere.
Chains.
Of course all the majors. Was it Marcus or was it Brandon?
Your last name was Marcus.
No, my name was Brandon last week.
No, I don't know. I thought Brandon sounded familiar too, but Engineer Anderson said Marcus.
Maybe Dr. Drew was a...
Maybe I'm not remembering, but I thought
it was
Marcus
for sure. And he was on the same line, and he said
he was
20.
All right. Okay.
It sounds like the same guy, though.
Listen, Trunko, what do you need?
I need you guys' help.
Yeah, no kidding.
Yeah.
Can you guys do me a favor?
Yes, anything for you.
Can you just keep me for our next caller after your break? I know it's coming up.
Mm-hmm.
And see if I can help them.
Okay.
Well, I'll tell you what, Brandon. You've won a Cabin Fever DVD.
That's right.
Well, look out.
We certainly have. All right, hold on a second. Yeah, I'm guessing you don't have a DVD player,
Brandon. Of course,
Brandon.
I have a PlayStation 2. Cable
right.
DVD.
Yeah,
you,
perfect.
You can play. See, it is work. Yeah.
It fits.
See, that's how you know people aren't lying. You're like, why does a loser, drunken loser like Brandon have himself a DVD? And then you go, PlayStation 2. Mm-hmm. Yep.
Yep.
PlayStation 2 will play DVDs?
Yep.
And play them right on that set there, huh?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. All right, let's take a quick break. We'll hang on to Brandon. He can help out our next caller. Yeah? All right, after this. Hey, everybody. Loveline. I'm Adam. That's Dr. Drew. Phone number 1-800-LOVE-191. Ron Jeremy's going to be in here tomorrow night from The Surreal Life, which I'm very
you're liking?
Very hot on that show. Yeah, watched the first episode, which aired Monday night.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, good show, and he's good. Mm. Comes across good, or comes across well, or something. So anyway, he'll be here to tomorrow night. Talk to him about his penis. Still have a replica of his penis at my house.
Scared the S out of your house cleaner, didn't it?
She found it, yes.
Yeah.
God knows what she knows. She doesn't talk, but she's seen things that...
Well, she doesn't talk to you, but when
see.
She leaves the house, she talks.
Yeah. There's all kinds of weird stuff, which I give her all my extra T-shirts to take to her husband, and I give her a whole bunch of these. I got a whole bunch of masturbation is not a crime T-shirts. And he doesn't speak any English, and I'm guessing doesn't read much. And then he went ahead and wore it to work.
Uh-oh.
And they sent him home.
Oh.
Yeah. Let me tell you something about how sad. Anything sadder than the refrigerator in a radio station's kitchen?
Yeah.
Is
always a
sadder?
Disaster.
Anything sadder? And it rivals, you know, the frat house refrigerator, the junkies refrigerator, the down-and-out single dad.
It's sort of all that rolled into one.
Yeah.
Yeah,
and it's bizarre.
That's
because
basically who you have working at a radio station. Let's be real here.
I know you got a lot of the unemployable who are magically employed, and the radio station is sort of it's sort of like video stores. Like these people are not fit to work anywhere else, but somehow they can do it. It's like the old Oakland Raiders. They take all the cast offs and misfits and somehow mold them into a team that's about 500. Actually, they don't win any Super Bowls. I for some reason just opened the refrigerator back there. And I was throwing the milk back in. I saw a can of ravioli, Chef Boyardee ravioli.
Of course,
and my interest was piqued because I thought to myself, what kind of retarded adult eats this gruel? Like, here's the thing. SpaghettiOs, you know, Chef Boyardee, any pasta that has been floating in its own sauce for a few years before you crank it is not fit for a dog.
Well, and by the way, not in a jar. In a can.
And not only that, listen, radio station, it's not like we have kids work here. It's not a bunch of kids. Not like, well, that's probably one of the kids. One of the nine-year-olds probably left that behind.
It could be Stryker.
It could be. I mean, average age at this radio station is 31, 32 years of age.
Yeah,
yes.
Yeah.
Okay. Can of Chef Boyardee ravioli, which is just, you have to be super albino, clear, translucent trash to open a can of that. And by the way, just, you have to be retarded. There's something wrong with your brain. That, number one. Now, here's the real kicker. It's half eaten.
With the lid on.
No. Drew, I'm going to get this can. Getting the can because you're not going to believe it.
Yeah, you got to get it. Chris, go get the can. Come on.
Chris, no, yeah. I'll get the can. Chris has got a job to do here.
Yeah.
Chris has got to run the
Unlike
board.
You. Okay, you go. I'll take calls.
Yeah, I'm getting this can.
I was going to take Brandon, but I'm going to talk to some other of our callers. This is Matt 25. Matt?
Hey, how's it going?
Good, what's up?
I have a question. Me and my girlfriend disagree on something. I think I heard somewhere that if you raise a kid wearing briefs, it's, you know, from when it was born or when it's old enough to wear briefs, that there's a higher chance that it'll actually go sterile or, you know, have less of a sperm count. But if you raise it wearing boxers, its you know, penis may actually grow at an awkward angle or something like that.
No,
I heard that from, do you know who Dr. Dean Adell is?
I know Dean, yeah.
Yeah, I think I heard that from him when I was a kid.
Well,
when I was younger.
I could see where they could make an issue about the sperm count because the hotter the testy, the more lower the sperm. But that, look, there's a whole industry around infertility right now, and they're not telling you, don't raise your kids. You know, I mean, that's not one of the recommendations to decrease the risk of fertility problems. So that's ridiculous.
Yeah, number two, it's a big deal. We're not, you know, debating
on
what to raise a kid with.
Number two, this business of a Peyronie's type syndrome with boxers. Also, you think there'd be a warning on the boxer if that were the case? No. Have you ever heard of that? There's millions of people wearing these things. Mm-hmm. Has anyone you've met ever had a problem with this?
But then again, by the way,
that would encompass all males. All males would either be infertile or have a crooked penis, right?
Because
they're either in one or the other.
Drew, listen to reason.
It's not that they cause every person that wears briefs to go infertile, but there's a chance of it. And what I was saying about the boxers, actually, most kids are not raised wearing boxers. They're generally all raised wearing briefs. They go to boxers as they get older, from what I've
seen. Yeah, but they go at a pretty young age many times. And
sure.
And so the point
is, it was 4 months.
So all males are having a problem with their penis and fertility?
Right. No. Why are we entertaining?
But this is making me vomit here. This is making me vomit.
This I brought the can of Chef Boyardee ravioli and meat sauce
from
the refrigerator.
Describe this.
Well, first off, like I said, you should stop eating canned raviolis when you stop eating SpaghettiOs, which is when you start having solid movements.
Right.
And that is about 4.5. The other thing is the can is half eaten and then saved. And by the way, I'm not sure how much you're saving at the bottom of this can, but
what
is there, about 3 cents worth of food at the bottom
of
the can?
There's three raviolis in the bottom.
There's three raviolis at the bottom of the can. And what's being used to seal the can?
A There's something stuffed into the can.
A crumpled up paper towel
stuffed
has been
into
shoved into
the
can.
Look at
now
that.
Look.
And there's a lovely nose to it, too. The odor is quite
yes,
exceptional.
This is in the community refrigerator. Now, here's the thing. When I'm in charge around here, you're gone. I don't care who you are. I don't care if it's Kevin Weatherly, the program director, Trip Reeve, the general manager. You're gone. I see this. This to me. This
Stryker, you're gone.
That's not my ravioli. Drew, you are supposedly my friend. That is not my goddamn ravioli.
Oh, this isn't yours?
No.
Well, I try to think of somebody who doesn't, who eats, you know, pablum and things like that, nothing else. No, not you?
Look,
you,
dude,
you
with eat, all my other boyfriends, I've only given them hand jobs.
Oh, hey, Stryker, please, we're going to talk about food. That's your sexual proclivity.
Stryker, do you eat Chef Boyardee?
In my life, yes. Is it in my cupboard? Yes, but it's probably...
Oh, my God. Oh, my God. It's in your cupboard.
Stryker, by the way, for those of you around the country, is the... is our beloved DJ who keeps the seats warm for us here at the mother station of K-Rock before we triumphantly roll into the studio every night. And even though he's a man of 30, he eats like an 11-year-old, possibly younger. I can't believe...
Have sex like Ron Jeremy, my friend.
How old are you, Stryker? You got to be 30.
Yeah.
30 years old. I know for a fact he makes decent money, and he's going out and buying cans, 89-cent cans of Chef Boyardee ravioli. This is what homeless people are supposed to eat. You understand this? This is what you're supposed to rattle a can for to get enough money to go out and buy one of these and heat it over a Sterno can in the park. You see what I'm saying? That bring home to your palatial condo. Stryker.
Ever since I told you I didn't eat cranberries, I feel like you've been giving me the cold shoulder around the
building. Right. That's right, Stryker. We no longer have anything to talk about.
Well,
okay?
Next Thanksgiving, I'll be at your house for the cranberries.
All right. Well, listen. Right. It's a few months away.
I'm going to mark it on my calendar, homeboy.
And listen, I would like to like you. Don't get me wrong. But it's when I hear you talking about Chef Boyardee ravioli and your blatant jabs at my beloved cranberries, well, that's when we have to part ways.
Okay, Adam.
Look, with all my other boyfriends, I've only given them hand jobs.
All right, Stryker, please, we're still on the air.
All right, Stryker.
All right, buddy, God bless you.
All right.
God bless the Stryker. Okay, so, well, it's not his.
All right.
I'd like to get to the bottom of this.
Can I throw
this out, or is somebody going to be angry that there are three raviolis that they jammed a paper towel into for a lid? And
dust the prints. Come on.
Yeah, you can't. Look, anyone knows, any good bachelor knows that when you open a can and you don't have a proper lid, you have to set like a styrofoam takeout container or something. I have to set. You're balling up a paper towel and shoving it in there with your fist. This is the work of a madman.
Yes, it is. It's scary. It sort of has a scary feel to it.
It really does.
Yeah.
Someone among us, producer Ann.
I would think Lauren.
Engineer Lauren.
No, it's not Lauren.
Somebody among us is just crazed enough to eat this and store food this way.
All right. Now we were going to let Brandon answer this.
I'm scared to go to the bathroom, Drew. It's dark. The hall's long.
I'm not.
Maniac could be waiting in one of the stalls with their feet up.
Buddy system.
All right.
So Brandon,
Chris, if something happens to us, it's your show. Okay?
Cool.
For the remainder of our contract. All right? Do it any way you want. All right, well, should we get Brandon on first?
Yeah.
Brandon?
What's up, guys?
You're 21?
Now you're going to talk to somebody.
Brandon, you're drunk? Yeah.
Oh.
What'd you do? Did you hang up on Brandon?
Oh.
Drew, you hung up on both of them. Well, this is an abortion, Drew.
You're supposed to let me do that, Drew.
I beg your pardon. I thought we could still do it from the same.
Yeah, I got Marcus from last week. Here we go.
Ah, you have some nice cars. You have a nice woman.
That sounded like the same guy, didn't it? Let me tell you something. It wouldn't hurt any of us if once in a while a drunken Marcus / Brandon called us up and went, You got money, you got a hot chick, you got, oh man, yeah, dude, you know what I mean? Like, I got to admit, like, after hearing that, I was like, yeah, I do. That's me, all right. I guess I do. Yeah. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. You could do worse. Brandon, call you up. Even if you don't have that much going, we line him up. Like, Brandon, all right, here's what you do, you know. Call the guy up. It's like, dude, you got a moped. You got a Parcheesi board. You beat all. Oh, yeah. Yeah, you know, this like makes you feel good about yourself.
No matter what.
I felt great after I was done talking to Brandon / Marcus. All right, so now Drew hung up on both of them.
It's bad times.
Norma? I mean, Norman?
Yo.
You're 22?
Yep.
What's up?
What's up, Adam? How's it going?
Good.
All right, so I've got this girlfriend. She's 18. And I've been dating her for a few years. And her parents are going through a wicked divorce.
Mm-hmm.
So our sex life, thus, has been stunted terribly.
Mm-hmm.
I'm trying to... I want to be there for her and whatnot, you know, but I'd like to get laid as well.
Well, what do you mean stunted, your sex drive?
No, our sex life.
Yeah, what do you mean stunted?
I didn't mean that. I screwed that up, but I mean, yeah, your sex life.
I don't know. She just is, like, uninterested. And I mean, she's just been uninterested.
So you've had no sex since the horrible family problems?
Well, yeah, pretty much.
How long has that been?
Well, I mean, it's been about 3 months about without sex. But
And you were having regular sex with her before that?
Yeah.
She may be packing up.
Right?
I mean, does she seem a little more distant?
Well, I'm going to see her tomorrow. She just got back. It's been a month since we've seen each other. She seems really excited to see me, but I don't know. Mm-hmm. I don't know.
Why has it been a month since we've seen her?
Yeah.
Oh, well, it was winter break. She was in Israel, and I was on a cruise.
Hold on. She's from Minnesota?
Yeah.
What percentage of Minnesota packs it in and goes to Israel for them? That's about 60%?
70%? In January.
What the hell? She's going to be the only... It's like she's got to show up to the airport, like at the Minnesota International Airport. Yeah, I'm going to Israel. What the hell? What? No. What'd you say? You say Iowa? No. Israel. Huh? Where is that? Like, I must not even know where that is. All right. Well, good times. So she's a Jewish chick, huh?
That's right.
Yeah, their folks don't get divorced quite as often as us goyim, as they call us, you know. For us, it's an everyday thing. Like, are your parents divorced?
No, I'm Jewish, too.
Oh, you're Jewish?
Yeah.
Holy Christ. They got a lot of Jews in Minnesota?
All two of us.
Wow, yeah. It seems cold there.
Yeah.
And the whole, like, 10,000 lake thing. Jews are big in angling and water skiing.
And ice fishing.
And there's no Jew in their right mind that's ever been ice fishing once.
I've never been.
Yeah. All right. So listen, you can talk to her. I mean, you can have an open dialogue about it. I mean, you could say, look, where do we stand?
What's
Are you depressed? What's going on? I mean, give her a chance to come back and
she may have been packing in. Maybe she's back now. Maybe she's more engaged. If she's depressed, that needs to be dealt with.
When I was young, if I got in a little, you know, problem, I'd head down to Israel, clear my head for a couple of weeks, and
get
come
a little
back
spiritual
about
renewal.
18, 19. Yeah. Yeah, go hit a wailing wall. Go to some, go to the temple. Go find Christ's birthplace. Where's that? Bethlehem?
Yeah.
Was that in Israel? That's take a leak in the Caspian Sea. you know what I mean? Just sort my head out.
Yeah,
you know,
get
my
change
head,
everything.
Clear my head out.
Yeah. What's my dad doing in Israel?
All right, let's take a quick break.
Yeah.
And then we'll be right back. Hey, everybody. It's Loveline. I'm Adam. That's Dr. Drew. Phone number 1-800-LOVE. Porn star and all-around good guy Ron Jeremy in here tomorrow night. The Hedgehog, as he's known. I got a little thing going on, a little promotion going on with Cabin Fever, the horror movie, which is out on DVD. Which is anyone who calls here tonight who's over the age of 18 is going to get themselves a DVD copy of Cabin Fever. And then you'll also be... and by the way, this thing's got the crew comment. crew commentary. That's a selling point?
He means the behind-the-scenes commentary.
Some guy with that duct tape hanging off his cutoffs telling you about what it was like to...
A key grip? You got a lot to say.
Key grip's going
to
tell you what the craft service table was like.
They had peanut and regular M&Ms. It was cool.
Anyway, commentaries from the actors and all that, and they're all... When it comes out the 20th, I guess.
The DVD itself. But the coolest thing is that you all will then get put in a drawing, which will be done on January 25th, to win a all-expense-paid ski vacation for you and three of your friends,
right,
to Whistler, Canada. Amazing. From wherever you are.
Drew's been there.
It's amazing.
Airfare and lift tickets and a cabin where possibly you'll be killed.
No, you got a flesh-eating virus.
Flesh-eating virus, yeah. But that kills you.
Yeah.
But listen... Is like, where's Whistler? Is that, what's that ranked
British
for
Columbia.
You? Is that good for you? You like Whistler?
A lot. Yeah, it's beautiful.
Yeah.
Really nice.
Yeah. I can get out that way myself, you know?
You got land up there.
I'm keeping it real. I do.
Seattle, do you have land up there? It's near Seattle.
I've never been there, though.
There you go.
Austin? Oh, it's near Seattle?
It's
Austin. Hello? Yeah.
Hey.
Hey, you're 16. What's going on?
I lost my virginity last Friday.
Yeah, congrats.
Thank you. And, well, in the whole process, like, I never come, like, through the whole thing.
Mm-hmm. All right.
And I wonder if that's normal or not.
No one ever comes during sex. That never happens.
No. Yes, no. Look, here's the thing. I'm trying to think. I would say, in terms of guys losing their virginity...
First time out.
Okay, here's,
I would say
Okay, here's, I'm gonna break it into three categories.
Without telling me, and I'm not gonna tell you.
That's
and
why
I'm gonna predict
writing
the same.
This down.
Right, first is erectile failure.
No. I'm not gonna do it that way.
No.
These are my three categories. You just go along. I'm gonna put the has an orgasm in a sort of normal time. It has a normal, what you would call just a normal sexual encounter.
Right. Too long or too fast.
Yeah, just somewhere in the middle. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Then there's too fast, and then there's not at all.
Yes.
All right, let me work this out. And this is out of 100%.
And this is first time out or just...
First time out.
First time out.
I'm going to change that. Nah, it might be a little high. All right, I'm going back. All right. I'm going to do that. I'm going to do normal... Do about four, five. Now I'm not exaggerating here. I'm going real here. Okay, no wait. Yeah, I'm back. Okay. All right.
Okay, I'm ready.
Math. Okay,
ready?
You ready?
Yeah.
All
I'm
right.
Gonna say,
go ahead.
20% are satisfied with their performance. Normal.
Well, normal. In the normal range.
30% too long, 50% too short.
Well, no, it's not too long. It's not too long, it's not at all.
Or not at all. Oh, not at all. Can we put it...
No. I already decided this.
All right, 15% not at all and 55% too short.
Okay. Well, now, see, I had 15% not at all.
That's what I said.
I know.
Yeah.
That's interesting,
and
isn't
I said,
it?
And I said 55% here.
Yeah, so I said 40. Off. I said 45 here. Although I flip-flopped. As you see, I crossed out my 45. I was going to go with 50, but then I thought, 30%. It seems like, all right, it seems like, almost half the guys would have a normal experience, a little less than half, but not a ton less than half. I don't think it's 30%.
All right.
You know.
But, Austin, so the point we're making is that men have all kinds of performance problems first time out, erectile dysfunction, orgasmic, you know, too short or too fast or too slow or not at all.
Mm-hmm.
So it's very, very common. It's not normal,
mm-hmm.
right? But nothing is normal about your first time out.
Right.
So
don't worry about it.
Yeah.
That's interesting that I've never asked you this question, and we had the same number, an odd number, 15% for the guys who never have an orgasm at all.
Yeah.
You know what that means? That means we're both geniuses, and it's exactly 15%.
Right, that's right.
That's what it means to me.
Right.
Zach?
Hey, what's up?
You're 16?
Yeah.
You have a Germany or Florida for us?
Yes, I do.
All right.
So in either Germany or Florida... People are going wild over porn karaoke, in which couples are judged on their ability to moan, grunt, and squeal during a one-minute muted movie sex scene.
It's comedy.
Oh, I see.
I go Germany.
I think, You know, this it ends up screwing you up more when you realize you'd heard this story and then can't remember which one's really from, because then you go, wait a minute, I think it was. Yeah, Germany sounds good, but I think I remember Florida. So, Drew's going Germany, I'm going Florida.
Germany.
Oh,
oh yeah. Oh, yeah.
See, I got screwed up because I'd heard this story about 3 months ago at the writer's table and thought it was from Germany.
Sounds funny.
Or from Florida, I should say. It's kind of funny, isn't it?
I mean, you could go... The creative possibilities are endless.
Well, you know, it'd be great is if I was singing the theme...
To Taboo 2.
To Taboo 2.
He has it all. Yes, he does.
Yeah, it's, during a bad song when you hear, yes, he does. People answering their own statement, you know. He knows how to please in every detail. What's my favorite part of that song, Drew?
You thought that you know him, but you don't.
But you don't. All right. Quick break. We'll be right back. He only reveals what he wants you to see. We just got to get to the part that's my favorite part.
That's way ahead here.
Yeah, that's all right. I like when she says, yeah, just let it play there. Yeah, here, we're getting to it. He only... Oh, more than you'd ever... This Taboo 2 is a great movie. It's about...
Oh, yes, he does.
Oh, yes, he does. That's
there
the part.
Is.
Thank you. He does it with style. He does it with me. Oh, yes, he does. Oh, yeah. That's good writing, Drew. Somebody's jealous because you flunked out of opera school. All right. Still a good movie. And by the way, tomorrow night, a young Ron Jeremy in that movie. Mm-hmm. I got to talk to him about that.
You've talked to him all about it.
Yeah, I know. I have to remind him what movies he was in, number one, because he's made like 1,700 movies. And number two, I'm still looking for Spank Me, F Me. Which,
he was supposed to get you that, I thought.
Yeah, a lot of talk that Ron Jeremy, but not
he's
a lot in the
one.
Action department. Yeah.
Oh, it's a Minka
Spank
thing?
Me, F Me has Minka in it. And I've been wanting to see this ever since I saw the it got like three boners and half a ball up in the Hustler rating. You know, they're very clever.
Oh,
they?
Oh my God!
Yeah, yeah,
oh, that's good times.
Oh, you ever read those?
No.
Oh, they're great.
No.
It's like first off, every racial slur in the book, like, you know, Minka, it's like gave her the mushu pork and all that kind of stuff.
God.
By the way, she's like Korean or something, but you know, and here's in the eyes of the porn readers, it's like you just got to stick. You got to pick one. Asian, you can't start getting spread out too thin with your nationality characterizations. You know, you just got to stick with Japanese, and that's good. You know, so every movie she's in, it's like Mounting Fuji, and you know that kind of stuff. You know, right. So a lot of that stuff. All right, so where are we, Drew? Remind me to get that Spank Me, F Me from Ron when he comes in tomorrow. Christy,
that's the first thing I'll think of.
What's up?
Please, you're 20.
Okay. I was born with a very high drive, but I've always gotten raw easily. Maybe I think because I took the pill for a while.
Wait, whoa! You're already sort of off into assumption land. You were born with a high drive.
Oh no! I guess God destined that I would have a high sex drive when I became.
You weren't sexually abused. Weren't exposed to sexual material at a young age.
I was.
Okay, well,
very
that's
little,
not. All right, that,
very much.
That's where that comes
whoa,
from.
Whoa, whoa. What do you mean, very little?
Like, three isolated incidents, and it wasn't with adults or anything. It was like with like a neighbor and a friend.
Well, listen, we can't question God's molestation schedule.
Yeah.
Let's just move forward.
Yeah,
really horny.
Sexual, or premature sexual. Sexualization results in high or low or back and forth sex
drives.
Maybe
she did it because she was whipped up as
no,
a youngster.
No.
Look, her name's Christy.
No.
Your name is Christy, right?
Yeah.
That's a hot name.
All right, so there you go. So something happened to you, and that got your sort of wiring set up.
She can be a little hot anyway.
All right, and then what? And then you said something about taking the pill made you go too long.
I would want to have sex a lot, but I would get raw easily. So
what does being on the pill have to do with that?
I don't know. I thought that it would make you dry. I don't know.
The progesterone in the pill can sometimes make people dry.
All right, leave her alone, Drew.
No, but I'm trying to. She's all over the place.
What's up?
Okay, so. I also stretched and played with myself a lot prior to losing my virginity because I was afraid to bleed. Hold on, I will tie this in. And then I would play with myself with, like, toys and vibrators and whatnot. And, you know, I'm very careful with myself in regards to STDs and condoms and all that. And I think that I might have kind of made myself larger, and I'm wondering if, you know, now it's not really that painful for me to have sex, even though I'm kind of drier. And I'm wondering if that's why girls don't like to have sex as much, because, you know, they're smaller and it hurts too much. And my boyfriends have been very polite, and they haven't told me that I'm large, and I've asked them specifically, and they haven't said so. And I'm just wondering if that's kind of why girls don't want to have sex as much.
No. But let's...
Christy, wow.
You got bigger fish to fry than whatever your question
is. Yeah, your thinking is all over the
place.
You're
a little scattered.
Sorry about that.
That's all right. Sometimes you're on the radio, get a little nervous. But here's what's going on. You were diddled, for lack of a better term. It's not the same. Kid on kid is nowhere near as bad as old Uncle Lou on top of you. But something went on in your childhood, and it may be a combination of a few things that have gotten you some energy around your vagina, trying to stretch it out, asking guys about the size.
Yeah, the size has meant nothing.
Preoccupation with the vagina.
What do you think happens after child delivery?
Oh, Christy? Yeah, good point.
Okay, yeah, it goes back to normal.
All right. So anyway, Chris, there's a little energy here.
Huge.
Well, all right. So anyway, listen, baby doll.
Mm-hmm.
You have a boyfriend right now?
No.
Okay. And then the other thing about why women aren't as inclined to have sex. Listen, if guys' penis fell off after sex, they'd still do it.
Yes.
The drives are totally different for a male and a female many times.
Okay.
And guys come in one sort of version, and theirs is to, you know, they jump off a cliff or whatever they had to do.
Yeah.
Women, it's not the same biology at all. Mm-hmm. Most of the time. Although, in her case, there is this sort of... See, what she's describing is somebody who can't be satisfied, basically, which is the sexual abuse stuff.
Mm-hmm. All right. A little therapy for Christy.
Oh, yeah.
And stop obsessing on the vagina.
She's bipolar. She's so disorganized.
Leave that to me. Huh? This guy's been on hold. Weren't we going to talk to someone who we said we'd call back, or they were going to call back last night because they're on hold for, like, 90-something minutes?
Brian?
Yeah, what happened to that? That was a young girl, I think. Ryan.
Yeah.
You're 19.
Yes, I am.
You tore your foreskin after having sex with a girl who wasn't wet enough.
Yeah.
Yeah, it can happen.
It's like, it's not the foreskin, it's toward the base of my penis.
Oof. Ow.
Wait a minute. Base of the head, not the base of the penis.
No, basically.
No, you can tear it. You can take and get irritated and tear a little bit down there.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
How do you're going deep, buddy. I mean, you got to really be going for it, right? I mean, yeah.
Generally, yeah.
Yeah, that's not a flattering story. Like there's stories that make you seem like you have a small penis. Like this I got my balls caught in her vagina, like stuff like that. You got to keep that to yourself.
Oh, yeah.
See what I'm saying?
Yeah.
It's like when I say I'm taking a dump and I'm taking a leak at the same time, and it's squirting out. Yeah. Into my pants.
I was thinking about that. I thought to myself,
it can happen. It can happen. You know what I mean? But
if I were in Alaska sitting in an ice fishing kit,
sitting on an ice donut.
Yeah.
You're taking a crap in a frozen river. All right, so listen, Ryan.
Yeah.
But the area underneath the penis where the balls are attached?
No, on the top. That side just gets kind of...
On the top.
Yeah, I can do it. I can. It's probably just an irritation more than a tear.
There's nothing to tear there.
Yeah.
Huh?
You can tear anywhere, but
nothing to tear there.
Right, you just rub it raw. You're talking.
Scab on it.
The scab on it. Yeah, you just. Well, it could be. That even could be herpes.
Yeah, look on the bright side. Could be herpes.
Well, I've had a STD test, and I came up negative.
What'd they test you for?
I don't know. They,
okay. Well, there is no test for herpes, really, that's reliable, A. B, okay. Hopefully they tested you for syphilis, which is a blood test. Syphilis could cause a scab.
They did do that.
And then the chlamydia test they can do, gonorrhea, just with urine now.
And, yeah, so it was the top part that got irritated.
Yeah.
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 Right. And
yeah.
She was dry and just, you know, that happens. Yeah, imagine happened to her. Oh, my God. Ouch.
Yeah. And sometimes they get a little shaven stubble or something down there, too. You know, it can wear off. Here's the whole thing, everybody. When you're humping, it's dangerous. And I'll tell you why. It's like, you know, you come home from the dentist after a mouthful of Novocaine, you start eating.
Mm-hmm.
You could easily puncture a hole in your lip or your gum. You can bite yourself.
You don't know it. Second overtime of the New England game, and you're quarterback.
You're numb.
Yeah, you're.
You don't know to right. stop. You don't know when the pain, because the endorphins are pumping. Mm-hmm. You're feeling pretty good about yourself, and that's where it's like. I know people like banging doggy style on some bad rust colored shag. You know, they stand up, their knees are bloody.
Mm-hmm.
Believe me, if you were working, you know, if you were putting some carpet down or looking for your contact lens, and your knees started to get bloody, you would stop well before they got bloody. You'd be irritated. You'd mm-hmm. be like, "Ow, this hurts. What's going on here?" You can be humping, wear it down to the bone, not even stop. Yes, Drew?
Mm-hmm.
Remember those days?
That's why I don't have a patella.
You don't have a patella?
Yeah.
Was that a kneecap?
Mm-hmm.
Patella. Calling all nerds. Hello. Taylor?
Hello?
Hey, hello?
Who is it?
Who's this?
No, all of a sudden it went scratch and then went beep, and someone said hello. I thought someone cut into my line.
No way. No. You smoking pot, baby?
No way, I don't do drugs, but that's why I'm actually calling.
All right, what's the question?
Okay, my brother, I just want to get some, like, I guess, family direction and family advice. My brother's fought his whole life, and he went through a really bad divorce, or he's, like, in the process of it. And my mom and I suspect that he's doing other drugs. So we've both, you know, talked to him about it, and he said, he hasn't confirmed it, but he hasn't denied it either. He just doesn't say anything when we ask him. So that tells us that he is. The problem is, it's not so much that it's him, but he has a 2-year-old son, and that's everything to my mom and I as well. And we just want to know the right people to get help for him and to know in the right direction of who we should talk to. Well, like, I really don't know this area because...
Well, know, wait a second. Did he say he was doing drugs?
He didn't say it, but my sister-in-law... She was addicted to, like, whatever stuff they give you for migraines, like Percocet and, like, some stuff right. that they give you for migraines. And she was addicted to pain medication. And I've never known my brother to do coke or speed, but that's what he acts like. And my mom just knows, because she knows my brother, and... I guess supposedly he brought it up to my uncle, and just like through the family, like word of mouth, it got to my grandma, and my grandma's like, "Your brother's doing coke. Your brother's doing coke." We just don't know who to talk to. Like who?
Okay.
I was a child counselor for like 10 years, but I've never had to deal with like an adult who an adult would go to
All
if
right.
they were doing drugs.
All right. Well,
he needs to come in. Yeah, he needs to come into a program and spend a little time.
Now, who do I call? Like, is there, like, a 1-800 number?
You can call his insurance company and see what he's got covered, what hospitals in the area that would cover his treatment, and they just take him there.
He has his own company. He has his own business, though.
Yeah, but I'm sure he has an insurance.
Well,
have a health insurance.
Not necessarily. Does he have insurance, you think?
I'm not sure.
I'm sure he has health. Taylor, all right, Taylor, you're trying to orchestrate something that you really can't, first of all. It's about him. You have to talk to him, tell him to get help, call his insurance company, get a place to go, and go. All you can do is, A, participate in the family component of treatment when that time comes, and in the meantime, go to Al-Anon, get a sponsor, and work the steps yourself. That has the highest probability of getting him to treatment. That's it. That's all you can do. Beyond that, it's leveraging him any way you can. If he you know, drives drunk, that kind of thing, you call the police, you have him arrested until he gets the message, he's got to do something.
I'm arrested?
Yeah.
Yeah, you don't narc out your own
yes,
brother.
Yes, if you're trying to save their lives, you do whatever you have to do.
You get the 502, a DUI, your insurance goes up. Mm-hmm. Come on. I'll kill my sister if she did that.
Carnage of the disease.
Yeah, I was raised by aliens, so it's always bizarre to me when it's like my mom and I confronted him.
Yeah.
But Drew, I know you're the same in that I don't think you've ever had a meaningful conversation with a member of your family, have you?
I'm sure I've had a meaningful conversation, yes.
Has anyone ever given you any advice or like said, now listen, Drew, we're worried about your mother and I have been discussing this. Have you ever had any? You have. Mm. Holy Christ. Well, I stand corrected. I've never had one of those conversations with anybody in my family. I mean, I avoid it, but they have no idea what I'm up to. Mm. And I have zero idea what they're up to, and that's the way we like it.
It's perfect.
Yeah. So you've had your dad like pull you aside and say, like, son? But, I mean, these are like your grades are slipping. No? Really? All right. I'm going to talk off the air. Huh? Mm. Really? I can't picture you having actual conversations with your family.
We have conversations there.
They talk to you.
Yeah.
And you sit and listen.
Mm.
But they hand out advice.
Mm-hmm.
And they tell you need to do this, and you should be doing more of that, and you're not being enough like this.
Mm-hmm.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Well, never had a conversation with anyone in my family about anything. I mean, other than, hey, how's it going? It's going good. Going good? Good, fine. What's up? No, nothing. I mean,
you sure you had a family?
I don't know. I mean, we talk about stuff, but no one ever said, like, are you getting enough of this? Are you doing that? Are you on this? Can you do that? What's the deal? You're going to get married. You're going to have kids. You're going to do this. What are you going to do for a job? You have insurance. Never had a conversation. Never. Never. Never about education. Never about, like,
not
auto
normal.
Insurance.
Not normal.
Oh, that's not normal?
Hey, but listen, Taylor.
Low maintenance. You know what I'm
saying? I don't see Annie. I want to give her. Can you give her this? Let me give you a phone number over there. You can call right now if you want. It's 626-356-2789. 626-356-2789. Talk to you some more about what needs to be done.
Uh-huh. Who's doing the talking in your family? Is your dad doing the talking?
No,
mom, too?
Everybody talks.
Really? Mm-hmm. Just talking at you. Dad and mom. That's the other thing, too. If your parents get divorced, you don't have to deal with them.
Ah.
Because when they're...
Well, also, they feel so guilty then that they let you do whatever.
Yeah.
Maybe that's why they didn't talk to you. They felt too guilty. Overwhelmed.
Yeah. Well, that's more apathy than guilt. But the point is when your parents are together, they sit around. They lie in bed at night. I don't know.
Gang up.
I'm worried about Drew.
Yeah.
What what's that, honey? Well, his grades haven't been what we know. We pay a lot of money for that college of his. Yes, I know, and he doesn't seem grateful. Well, we'll talk to him next time. See, when they get divorced, there's none of that.
Right.
Your mom's just got some hippie slackers. He's caved in on the sofa drunk. Your dad's trying to nail some chick who's 20 years younger from work. They're busy with their own crap. They don't even know who you are. There isn't no more. They don't have. You're not a common topic anymore. Nancy, Drew, your parents should have got divorced. You'd be in much better shape. Dan?
Hello?
You're 22.
Yes, I am.
What's up?
Well, I'm a virgin, first of all, and I just wanted to say, with my girlfriend, we didn't have sex, but I don't know how to say it, but I effed her, well, you know, and I have bumps on my penis now that weren't there before, and I wanted to know if I could get something from doing that.
Mm-hmm. I'm glad you brought up the TFing.
Yeah.
The effing.
Yeah,
here's the reason. Because there's no alternative for the term TF.
Really?
There's no boob screw. Really?
Yeah.
Well, I banged her in the jugs.
Bust bang.
Bust bang?
That's still, what we call it take kids.
As we did, because, see, around here, that would take a while to process. Like, someone says, I was bus banging. I think you were doing drugs.
I just made it up.
Oh.
Uh-huh.
Anderson. I knew you didn't do it as kids. All right, so, look, here's the deal. I remember as a kid thinking about that going, wow, who's going to let me do that? And whoever they are, it's going to be good.
Watch out.
Watch out. Got a lot of love saved up for that woman.
Well, how could you possibly get an STD from that? I can't even... creatively come up with a way. You're just, it's skin against skin.
Yeah.
Right? Dan?
Yeah, pretty much, I guess. I mean, you won't even give me oral sex, so.
Yeah, so, but I mean, what are you freaking out about? I don't understand this.
Well, because there's something on my penis that wasn't there before I did that. I mean, I've only done it once, too.
How long ago did you do it?
It was maybe 4 days ago.
Yeah. This is bogus. Something's wrong. Something's wrong with this question. I don't know what it is, but there's something wrong with it.
Yeah.
You don't get anything from that.
No.
God wouldn't let that happen.
No.
You know what I mean? This is a beautiful moment shared between two people who love each other. The TFing. God would not rub his filthy, herpied hands on a beautiful moment like that. Not my God. That's for damn sure. You know what your other problem was growing up, Drew? Your parents did stuff. They you let you use a car, sent you to college.
Right.
That means they can do some talking.
Right.
You're going to do the same with your kids.
Oh, yeah.
You just boot your kids out, they don't do anything.
Right.
You can't talk.
You have no leverage.
No privilege. Yeah, you talk all you want, old man. What are you doing?
Yeah. I'm going back to
my crappy apartment.
Right.
And on my Enduro motorcycle. Screw you. Yeah, that's great. Yeah. See, Drew, you should pay your own way through college like I did. Oh, no, wait a minute. I didn't go to college. All right. Well, a little junior college. We got to take a break.
Same thing.
I got the same education, Drew guy. No doubt about that. When we come back, we're going to speak to Amanda, who's 20. Not in love with boyfriend anymore. Stays with him, or at least unfair. Okay, so she's keeping this going. And they think they're doing it because they like the, you know, it's like, I can't hurt him, but really you're dragging it on.
Oh, he just is driving the knife in. And during that time when you're just staying around, believe me, you're torturing him.
Believe me, he knows.
Yeah.
Drew, I mean, I don't know, I've had countless relationships where that part starts creeping in.
And it goes for like a year or so.
Yeah, it can. And here's how it starts. It starts with, you know, it's like, look, when you're firing on all cylinders, when things are working, you can call that person up at Friday at 8:30 at night and go, what are you doing right now? And they'll go, nothing. And you go, I'm coming over.
Great.
Pow. Now, when S ain't working, you call Monday. Like, listen, Saturday, how about some dinner? Saturday. If they repeat the day that you said, it's always bad.
And then here's where guys like Adam and I go with that. We start getting insane.
I'm coming over there now.
Okay. What are you doing?
I hear a man breathing.
Yeah.
I'm coming over.
Right. And that's now you're like that. Now you're in that mode until the relationship ends.
You get in the bum rush mode.
Yeah.
And now you're completely.
You're panicking. What are they doing? What are they up to? They're panicking that they're going to leave, and you're trying to reel them in all the time.
Right. All right.
It's horrible.
All right.
Okay, now I'm totally depressed.
Okay, but it's all right, because we'll go to the bathroom, and we'll do a ceremonial and symbolic cleansing in the sink.
Okay. Oh, in the sink.
Yeah.
No. Yeah. I'll use the latrine. Use the sink. That'll do it.
No, I'm gonna baptize myself.
Oh, within urine.
No, not my own urine.
Uh-oh.
I don't always pee in the sink.
Uh-oh.
And I don't do it in commercial buildings because
too high.
The bathroom, the counter, the sink is set back like 8 inches from the edge of the counter. And I think it's trying to discourage people like me.
I see.
I will take a quick break. We'll be right back. Hey, everybody. It's Loveline. Thanks for listening. Phone number 1-800-LOVE-191.
Big promotion, Cabin Fever.
That's right.
Everybody,
are we still doing that?
Yeah, we have one more to do. This.
Oh, okay.
18 and over gets a DVD of the movie Cabin Fever.
Everyone
which comes
who calls.
Out. Everyone who calls who's 18 or over. And this DVD is coming
out. Everyone we talk to.
Yes, everyone we speak to.
And, you know, at the rate I like to tell personal stories.
Could be three of you tonight.
We'll give away DV.
A DV. The DVD itself comes out January 20th. And those of you that win the DVD tonight get put in a drawing to win a trip for four airfare tickets, lift tickets, and a cabin in Whistler, British Columbia.
And let me say this.
It's a great resort.
I know you guys, you know, everyone sits home and they think, take more calls.
Yeah,
stop
everyone.
This incessant
everyone.
Rambling.
Yes.
The nasally drone
God,
of this
you
man.
Know that. Oh, my
okay,
God.
Okay, but think about the people that are going to be in the running to get the tickets to Whistler. Here's the deal. Normally you'd say, well, over the course of 4 or 5 days when we do this promotion, oh, there's going to be hundreds
given
away.
Oh, I see one as few as possible.
Well,
yes.
It's just I take three calls a night.
Yes, it increases your probability of winning.
Two of the calls are people under 18.
Uh-huh.
So when we finally pick the thing at the end of the week, you got like a 35% chance of going to Whistler.
So keep up rambling, Adam. That's right.
That's what I'm saying.
Unfortunately, most of us are not in this drawing. So the eight that are in the drawing will be wishing for you to ramble.
All right. Yeah. I won't filibuster any longer. Right. Amanda?
Hi.
You're 20?
Yes, I am.
What's up, baby doll?
Nothing. First of all, it's not that I'm not in love with him anymore. It's that I never really was.
Oh, that's even better.
Yeah. Well,
and second, yes, it has been dragging on, but I have approached the subject with him. We've talked about it. He wants to work it out.
No, Amanda.
Yeah, but
of course he wants to work it out. He's in love with you. He has a different perception of this relationship. You have to slam the door shut, block up the keyhole, not leave a possibility of this going any further if you're out.
Why
unfair
to
him.
Why did you get together with him if you never really were into him?
Well, we were friends. And it just kind of developed.
Were you rebounding off of something?
Yes, it was.
There you go.
Listen, all you screwball 20-year-old chicks, you were trying to fool me?
Yeah.
We were friends. It just
Who do you think you're talking
into.
To here?
No, you
need a life preserver.
Yeah, you had a bad boy screw you over a little bit. And this guy was so loving and so there and so consistent.
And by the way, she just thought he was just such a good friend. But he was waiting for this moment.
This guy would never disappoint you. You got with him, and now you're disappointed.
But think about the diabolical nature of males. Waiting like a lion in the brush for that antelope herd to come by. And as soon as the one with the broken leg heads out towards the side, pow! Yeah. That's Amanda.
Listen, you know what you need to do to him? Here's what you need to say to him. You say, look, let's get philosophical about this whole thing. You're not really my type.
Listen.
I was never interested in you much more than a friend, but you got to nail me a handful of times, and that's going on your permanent record. And feel free to beat off to that whenever you like. So now, instead of crying over spilled milk, you could think, well,
the glass is half full.
I got in the pants of this hot chick who I'd been pining for a number of years, and we had a few good roles, and it wasn't going to last. Yeah. But it could have been. We could have just stayed friends.
Yeah, but the guy that's going to pull that friend waiting in the brush ain't the guy that's going to take that kind of directive.
You guys were together for a year?
Yeah.
All right.
Amanda, just you got to say, look, I'm
Are you interested in somebody at work?
No.
Who else?
That's cool.
Who are you interested in?
Somebody, but it didn't work out, so there's nobody now.
So you went ahead and cheated on this guy anyway?
Oh, of course, more than once.
All right, this is why the guys are freaking out when they feel the girl pulling away.
Yeah.
They know this is what's going to happen.
All right.
No,
all right, listen.
No.
Listen,
different.
Evil cat-like eyed devil lady. You tell him it's time for you to ramble.
Yeah, you are being extremely, extremely unfair to this guy.
Yeah.
This is destructive behavior for him.
Yeah, she's like one of these queens from New Orleans.
We would say the same thing.
She's like a Cajun queen from New Orleans.
We'd say the same thing. Yeah, that's good. Good reference.
Yeah.
We'd say the same thing to a guy who was cheating. Just, hey, cut her loose. You're being destructive to her. And the guy in this condition who had pined for you and now is clinging to you, that's just a mess.
It's clearly rambling time for Amanda. And while women...
And don't ramble.
Don't
ramble by finding another penis and rambling with that.
Yeah.
That's bad. That'll hurt the guy more. Just ramble because you're rambling. That's it. You got to go.
Oh, you're a rambling woman.
Slam the door. Do not leave the crack in the door.
All right.
No emails, no phone calls, no nothing. 6 months.
Drew, as bad as it is getting dumped, nothing worse than dumping somebody else. Is there?
Yes.
There is?
Getting dumped.
Okay. All right. Fair enough. Javier?
Hey, what's up?
What's happening? You're 24.
Yeah, what's up? What's going on? I got a question.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, see, me and my wife have been married for about, I'd say, 7 months.
Hold on, I was just thinking about something. Nationalities that can't ramble effectively. Asians.
They're not good ramblers?
They can pick up and leave, but they can't ramble. You don't hear a guy named Toshi rambling.
No Moisha rambling either.
It's time for me to...
Right?
Yeah, it's time... time for me to put on my sandals and ceremonial robe and headband and the rising sun on it and ramble? No. Yeah, there's no Jews, no Asians, not good rambling. Rambling is basically the domain of the white man, but the black guys do a fair amount of rambling, too.
Yeah,
they're good ramblers.
Yeah.
And they don't announce it. They don't brag about it like the white men. They quietly pick up and leave.
You know, the Hispanic cultures tend to stay put, too.
Yeah, they're not ramblers.
Yeah.
They like to stay and cook. Yeah. Chris, our engineers, got a little Latin blood in him. You're no good for rambling. That's not your thing. You guys, here's the thing. You ramble over the border, and you put stakes in the ground, and you set up, and that's it. No more rambling now. White guys ramble, and black guys ramble.
Well, you know,
Asian,
the rambling
Mexican,
is really people
no rambling.
That don't have...
Jews, don't ramble.
Yeah, the non-ramblers are the ones that make a high priority of stable families.
Well,
right? I mean,
well,
you can't have a stable family if you're rambling.
There's I don't know if you've ever heard the 70s rambling. There was one Jewish rambling song, which was... I asked my mom if I could ramble, and she said no. You remember that one?
Yeah, I do.
Yeah, so I stayed home. She said I could ramble, but I had to do it in the backyard. And then I had to come in when the streetlights came on. All right. Javier?
Yeah, what's up?
You a Latin brother?
I'm Hispanic.
Hispanic. Beautiful.
Yeah.
Okay, don't try to ramble.
No.
Okay. It's not a good rambling breed.
All right.
And part of the rambling is passed down. I mean, the Hispanic families are very stable and large.
Yeah,
and
your dad would have had to have been a rambling man, too.
Yeah, he kind of was, I guess.
Oh, he was?
I don't know.
True rambling dad you don't know.
You wouldn't have no idea who
he
was.
Rambled. He's too busy rambling.
He delivered, just dropped off some sperm and left.
That's right. He rambled.
Yeah.
Go ahead, Javier.
Okay, like I said, me and my wife were married. I said about 5 months ago, like into our marriage, She found out that she has herpes, but yet I don't have them.
How did she find this out?
She found it out because she broke out a little bit and she went to a doctor and she told them what she had and they said, well, that's what you have. So
did they come back?
Did they come back? No, they haven't. No, she's been taking medicine though.
To suppress it.
Yeah. Well, here's a couple.
I mean, she's been taking a pill every day.
Yeah, she has been.
Valtrex.
I don't know what kind of pill. It's a blue one. It's like
must be a wonderful kickboxer, by the way, because I've seen that commercial.
Well, there's one of two possibilities here. One is that she had it for a long time, didn't know it, had an outbreak, which happens. Something like 30% or more of women that have it don't know they have it.
Right.
For whatever reason, didn't pass it to you, and then got on a antiviral medication quickly enough that the virus got suppressed and, again, not being passed on to you. Or they got the diagnosis wrong.
Well,
which happens a lot. Happens a lot with herpes.
Well, what do you mean? It's something else? They misdiagnosed it the first time.
Yeah, yeah.
All right. Do you think she's been rambling behind your back?
No. I've asked her that thousands of times. Well, she did mess around like before we were married with two other guys, but
Hold on. Wait a minute. While you guys were dating, or
no. This is way before. This is like.
Oh well, ago. All right. That's not. You're allowed to do whatever you want before you get married.
Well, and by the way, when I hear stories like that, it's like to me, it's like an alcoholic estimating their drink consumption.
Yeah.
Just multiply times five.
Right.
What?
Yeah.
Yeah, you messed around one, maybe two guys. Okay. Yeah.
And also, it's possible, you can get this stuff from, I don't know, where
well, more importantly,
towel,
no, more than
like
not,
that.
People can have it and it can lay dormant for a long time. They not know they have it, and that's that.
Yeah.
That happens a lot.
All right. Am I talking about that?
Yeah, 117 minutes there, old Andrea.
I'm going to hold for 117 minutes?
Yeah.
Wow. She's not a rambling gal. She's not going anywhere. Andrea?
Hey.
13.
Yeah.
Wow.
No cabin fever for Andrea.
Yeah, you got to be 18. Call back in 5 years. We'll give you a DVD of Cabin Fever, and I'll kill myself if I'm not.
Yeah.
What's up, baby doll?
I was just wondering if I should continue a relationship that I've been having with this 20-year-old guy.
No.
Nope.
No.
Very easy.
No. He's a bad, bad boy.
Wait till you're 20 and look back and think about the fact that you were dating someone 20 when you were 13 and who that guy would be.
Yeah, but he's only
who of your 20-year-old peers... Who of your 20-year-old peers would date a 13-year-old? You will vomit when the time comes.
What grade are you in?
Eighth.
Eighth grade.
Mm-hmm.
Yeesh.
Yeah.
And that is scary. And furthermore, well, let's see. I guess eighth graders will turn 14 toward the end of the year. When's your birthday?
It's in July.
In July.
Yeah.
Christ's sake, a young eighth grader too.
Yeah,
I mean,
could
seven. Should. Oh, hold on a second. Yeah, that's the thing. You're dating a seventh grader. Think about that.
Mm-hmm. He should be a senior in college.
Yeah. And
if he were in school.
I guess he's an Ivy Leaguer. Yeah. But the point is seventh grader?
Yeah.
What's this guy do for a living?
He doesn't really do anything.
Shocking. Wait a minute. I'm shocked.
Oh.
He works at his dad's shop every once in a while when he's forced to.
Yeah. All right. So what's happened to you? What
too.
Do you hate your parents?
What?
Where are your parents, and why do you hate them so much?
I don't know where my parents are.
Are you in the system?
No, I was kind of adopted.
Well, you were adopted by those of your parents, the people that adopted you.
No.
Why? No. How old were you when you were adopted?
What?
How old were you when you were adopted?
Three.
Three?
Mm-hmm.
You don't look at those people as your mother and father? Why not?
Because I just don't.
Oh, okay. Hold on. Well,
that
let me
explains
write this
it.
Down.
Okay. Wait. She doesn't consider them right. She doesn't consider them her parents because she just doesn't.
Right. Slow down.
Maybe you thought you knew her,
but you don't. Right. Andrea.
Yeah.
Well, I understand you're angry, and you know maybe you have
and
the
hurt.
Right to be, and especially given away at age three. Did your mom give you up at age three?
What?
Did your mother give you up at age three?
Yeah.
All right, so she was some sort of junkie or something?
Yeah, she was, like, addicted to every drug out there.
Wow.
All right, so that's tough. But I know you're angry at whoever the person over 30 that's closest to you is, but...
What?
Stop saying what.
I'm not.
You're not saying what?
Unless Anderson's playing.
Were you dropping that in, Anderson?
Only once.
Okay.
She has been saying it a lot, though.
All right, listen. Anderson, please don't do that. Can you please not do your own show over there?
What?
Oh, my God. Did you get enough with last night dropping in Max's voice? All right.
I'm sorry. Max just had a kid. I wanted to pay him tribute.
All right, mm-hmm. Well, write him a goddamn note, would you?
He named it Adam.
All right, well, say I said hi.
Let's finish with Andrea.
No,
she's really so disturbed.
Now.
We're not discussing. It's just a sad situation.
I'm angry. I'm going to the bathroom.
What are you mad about?
I'm
you're out of Anderson, but yes. Andrea needs some direction.
All right, well, she can hang on. I got to go potty. All right, we'll be back. Hey, everybody. You know, the only thing worse than, you know, I got this car now, I listen to satellite radio in it.
Yeah.
Boy, the only thing worse than commercial radio is the satellite.
Oh, really? Oh, no.
Oh.
Yeah,
these guys are bad. But
let's get back to Andrea.
I'll tell you one thing that's good. They're not pounding the traffic and weather up your ass every 10 seconds.
It's a separate channel.
It's a separate channel.
Yeah,
you're like, what's this? We're hearing another song. Oh. And they play commercials on some of the satellite stations.
Really?
Yeah, but they don't do that. Hey, we got to break away for weather traffic coming up, blah, 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 blah. We got a rock block coming up, blah, blah, blah. Rocktober, blah, 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 blah. No, they don't do that.
Huh.
They play their songs, and then they go to commercial with a certain quiet dignity, and then they come back. It's not all that stupid. All right. Don't get me going, Drew. But I do. I have a visceral anger. You know, I start getting angry.
I know.
Start getting angry.
Andrea.
Yeah, Andrea. Andrea. Andrea.
Yeah, Andrea.
Oops, I pressed the wrong one. Andrea?
Yeah.
All right, okay. So you're 13. What are your parents doing, your adopted parents? Why do you hate them so much?
They give me no freedom.
Yeah. Well, maybe they're worried about...
Yeah, that may be
worried
what you
if
need.
If they let you out, you'd climb on top of a 20-year-old guy.
Yeah.
Yeah, but, okay. And maybe do drugs?
What?
and maybe do drugs.
Wait a minute. What is that?
What is maybe? I do.
But that's my point. Your parents are trying to contain your behavior so you don't harm yourself.
Yeah.
Drew, let me say this. If I adopted Andrea when she was three, and now she's like banging some 20-year-old and doing drugs and all pissed off and defiant, like, you're not my real mommy. Here's what I would do. I said, baby, get in the car. We're going to Disneyland. And we pull right up front of the adoption thing and be like, hey, I'm taking her back. And I'm dropping her off. I'm sorry. It didn't work out. She was cool. Like, we had a good Christmas.
We're cool.
When she was about 7 and a half, we had one good Christmas. And, but really, she's a disaster. Like, I got to be honest. We're not really equipped for this. We didn't know. It's like returning a puppy.
Well, this is interesting.
Pound.
You make an interesting point because I bet,
do that.
Well, Andrea, I bet between 0 and 3, you saw, maybe you don't remember, but I bet you have a sense that you saw a lot of horrible stuff.
I had to watch my brother being molested.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
Yeesh.
And so by the time you were 3, there was so much severe trauma that, I mean, an entire team of mental health workers and psychiatrists would have trouble putting all the pieces back together again. And what I find amusing is the parents that pick up kids like this and go, well, we're going to love them, and then everything's going to be fine.
Yeah.
Well, they kind of adopted the person who had me before they adopted me. Mm-hmm. You get that?
You adopted your mom?
Yeah.
Oh, man.
Okay.
Well, look, it's all bad. It's all tough. At least you had a roof over your head, and here's what they can do for you. That all the love in the world isn't going to change what's happened to your brain and your soul as a result, and your spiritual self as a result of these horrible traumas. But they can contain your behaviors, and they're doing that, and that's hard work. It's much easier to let you run like a feral child with your 20-year-old buddy.
Oh.
Believe me, these people are trying to do what's good for you.
Andrew,
the only
dart my kid if they pull
if
this
there's
crap.
Any possibility of a 12-step program for you, or something where you can connect with people who've been traumatized and are doing drugs, and there are other ways to handle these feelings you're having.
Mm-hmm.
Really tough, really bad times.
Oh, I feel like, first off, there's not a 13-year-old chick that doesn't hate everyone around anyway.
Yeah, but imagine between 0 and 3 what she saw, the drug-addicted parents, the brother getting sexually abused, violence, moving. Oh,
what is it about chicks when they're 13, they hate everybody? My sister hated, she hated my stepdad, mm-hmm. She hated my stepmoms, they just can't stand everybody. And I was like, look, they're no great parents, but they're not doing anything. They're just some dopes that got tied up in this crappy family. I feel sorry for them, really. Oh, I hate them. It's like, they just look around. What is that? Is it the bad wiring they have? they're wired like a British sports car from the late 50s, early 60s. They just get those bad parts in them. They don't work out. All right. That's what I do. I dart her and put her down for months. I freeze her.
Andrea?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Tasha?
Yeah.
16.
What's up?
Nothing.
All right. Well, next call.
I was wondering if you're considered a virgin if you've had oral sex.
Yes.
Technically, yeah, and it's just interesting, though, how virginity has become a technicality and not sort of a reflection of chastity, which is what it was originally intended to mean.
Yeah.
And oral sex, historically, is something that came after intercourse. It was considered more intimate.
Mm-hmm.
And so by sort of historical standards, it would be sort of bizarre even to ask that question, but yeah, technically you're still...
You both did it to each other?
Basically, yeah.
All right. Yeah, you'd still be a virgin. Who are you worried about?
I just was wondering.
Just for yourself?
Yeah.
Still a virgin.
Do you want to hang on to your virginity?
Yeah.
Okay.
Good.
For
hang on tighter.
For how long?
Till I'm like 18, almost.
18. Okay. Well, keep going. But your grip is loosening.
Yeah.
Okay, baby. Do we have some of the smartest callers in talk radio?
We do. We do.
You know, these right-wingers, these Limbaughs of the world, or these Sean Hannitys, or these guys who they're politically driven, right-wing, white male, 40-something-year-old demographic shows on, they do it on AM radio. They think they have a smart, educated audience. I put our audience against theirs.
Oh, any day. They'd wipe it out. I had a little debate on CNN tonight with a guy named Armstrong Williams, a black conservative radio talk show host.
Yeah, really?
Really interesting guy, yeah.
A little fart go there. Yeah, what was his thing?
They were just talking about teen pregnancies.
What do you think?
He called me an enabler. It was very funny. He was very good.
Oh, because you tell people to put a condom on? Or?
Yeah, because I was saying that we should let kids leave school and come back. If they're pregnant, you know, they go get, you know, get their training so they don't start falling out of the system and they don't have another kid and just, you know, end up being more screwed up people, more screwed up kids.
Right.
He said, "No, it's got to be. They got to be shamed into this, and and I'm an enabling them." It's very interesting. It was fun. It was fun.
Well,
yeah, I said, "Yeah, I'm an enabler." Yeah.
Good times.
Yeah, good times.
Alex.
Yeah.
You're 18.
Yeah.
You get physically nauseous when you see ex-girlfriend around school.
Yeah, or just anywhere, you know.
Yeah.
How long have you been broken up?
Since like early October.
She broke up with you.
I broke up with her.
Why'd you break up?
We were gone for a while, and then...
that explains it.
I see.
Well, it was just... I mean, I liked her a lot at first, but she grew kind of attached, like really attached, and it freaked me out.
How dare she? How dare she?
Yeah, and, she warned me, too. She's like, yeah, in past relationships, you know.
Oh, so you're not nauseated, like you're nervous and upset. You're nauseated, you actually don't like her.
No. Well, here's the weird thing. Like... I grew to not like being in a relationship, but none of it really made sense. And then afterwards, like, seeing her at all right now, like, she's kind of unstable, you know, a little anti-talkative, but, like, it almost feels like it's just, instinct.
You hate her.
Hold on a second.
No.
All right, listen, thank Christ there's about 6 seconds of this show left for me to go home and screw up my brain of all you idiots.
I'll put it this way. I feel like I hate her, but if you add everything up, I shouldn't.
Right. Well, this is basically envy. Anybody that would want you, you have to, first of all, get rid of her. You have to kind of soil her. You have to demean her in order to deal with the departure. And then also sometimes people have a certain quality where if somebody's willing to be close and intimate with them, there's something wrong with them. They're spoiled by that.
All right, buddy.
So either case, not the greatest emotional impulses.
Let's take a break, eh?
Yeah.
We'll be right back. Hey, yo. Well, that's the show.
Amazing.
Amazing. All right, well, listen, what did we do? We gave away a DVD and a half of the Cabin Fever?
At least.
And give away the other one and a half tomorrow night.
Then you'll have three to draw from.
Fantastic. All right, the Hedgehog, you know him as Ron Jeremy, king of all porn, tomorrow night. So until next time, it's Adam Carolla for Dr. Drew saying, mahalo.
What?
This has been Loveline. The opinions expressed on this show are not necessarily those of the staff, management, sponsors, or this station. The producer for Loveline is Ann Ingold. Loveline is a presentation of Westwood One Entertainment.